Yeah, well, this is obviously the last Wednesday of the year. We're moving into the last week of the year. It's brought down in many Svarim that the last week of the year, every single day, you try to be misakin the Averus of that day. So today you could be misakin all of the Pgamim of Yom Ravi, etc. Therefore, the last week has a very special significance. For Rosh Hashanah, this is Nichlal in what Chazal say, the way you finish the year is significant. So I want to talk a little bit in terms of halacha, and maybe this is obvious to you, maybe you know all this, but just in case, a little bit about the evolution of the mitzvah Tekiyas Shofar, so you understand structurally what Tekiyas Shofar is and how it turned into all of the different things that we do. The mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar is mentioned twice in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, in the Psukim of Rosh Hashanah. One in Parshas Emor, where the Torah says on the first day of the seventh month, which is Tishrei, so it says it should be a Zichrein Trua, a remembrance of the blowing of the Shofar. That is called Zichrein Trua. It doesn't say Shofar, but it says Trua. And in Parshas Pinchas, it says Yain Trua. So Zichrein Trua and Yain Trua. What is Taka the Nafkamina between Zichrein Trua and Yain Trua? So it's very interesting. You know, the Yushalmi says, right, we don't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. No, we don't blow Shofar. Now the Bavli says the reason why we don't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos is the Araisa that we would blow Shofar, but the Chachamim made a gezeira not to blow Shofar because Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos, lest in your zeal to learn how to blow Shofar you would be Mechalel Shabbos to carry four Amos to go to a Bavli. An amazing thing. The Chachamim, because of a Cheshash of Chilul Shabbos, were Eiker a mitzvah sase the arisa of Shofar, not just any mitzvah, but a mitzvah of Shofar that is so spiritually significant. And yet, the Gemara says in Yavamas that this is an example of the Chachamim having a kayach to be eiker, to uproot a mitzvah min atayra, if it's what's b'shevi altasa. Shevi altasa means passively. The Chachamim couldn't tell you itrek. They couldn't abrogate the Torah to tell you to be eiver b'kum v'yasei. But they can tell you b'shevi al tasa. That's michlal in rabbinic power. The Torah gives the chachamim such a koach. The emes is, Taisa says in Yavamas, that the chilvik between kum v'yasei and shevi al tasa is not a Torah limitation. It's a rabbinic limitation. Meaning to say, in theory, the chachamim have the kayach to be eiker davar min haTorah, even with kum v'yasei. But they decided on their own not to exercise. Because Taisus brings a raya that we have at least one case where the Chachamim were Eiker a Davar min haTorah. B'kum v'yaseh. Actually, I can give you another case. First of all, the writing of Torah Shebal Peh is abrogating the issue of Ksivas Torah Shebal Peh because of Eish Lasas L'Shem. That's B'kum v'yaseh. But the case that Taisus talks about is the fact that the Mishnah, the 10th paragraph of Yavamas, tells us that if an Eid Echad testifies a woman's husband died, so the Chachamim matcher a woman to get married al pi the Eidus of an Eid Echad, and not only an Eid Echad, but even if that Eid Echad is a Karaiv or a Pasol or a Katan, and under certain circumstances even a Goy, even though Ein Davar Shebe'erva Pachus Mishnayim, even though a Davar Shebe'erva the matcher in Eishav Seish requires two Eidim, but what does the Gemara say? Mishumaguna akilu baravanim. A woman doesn't know if her husband's dead or alive. She'll never be able to get married. So the Chachamim matured her to get married al pi edecha. Huge, huge subyas. So what happens if the first husband comes back? Well, there'll be all sorts of bad things that'll happen if that happens. But l'chalapapas, until he shows up, she's allowed to get married. Aye, Frek Taisus, how could the Chachamim Mishumaguna? Now, what are they doing here? They're maturing a woman that min haTorah is an Eishes Ish? and they're mockering the woman to get married? That's not being Iker Dovman Atara Vishavi Al Pasa. That's being Iker Dovman Atara Bakumbi Yasek. So Taisa says in Yavamas, that if the Chachamim feel that it's, the reason is important enough, they can even be Iker Dovman Atara Bakumbi Yasek. That which we say they only are Iker Vishavi Al Pasa, that's the way they normally behave, but in theory they even have the Kayach Bakumbi Yasek. Yes, so first of all, this is a big machlokes. And the Gemara in HaShaleach discusses it. You'll see him getting. But according to some opinions in the Gemara Kufa, Prisbul only works when Shemitah itself is Midrabban. Prisbul might not work when Shemitah itself is the Arisa. The other thing is that when it comes to monetary matters, such as whether a light has to pay a malva, there's a separate power called Hefker based in Hefker. And that's going to work even with Kumbi Yasek. So the ability of the Chachamim to say you don't have to pay back a loan, or you do have to pay back a loan, okay, Prisbul is saying you have to pay back a loan that Minatari you don't have to pay, right? Because it will not cure the Leibus ownership over the money. Okay? So monetary matters would not be a right. Okay. But be it as it may, the Bavli says the Feirish, that the reason we don't blow Shofar on Shabbos is because of the Gezeira Shema Yavilenu. The Yerushalmi says not that way. The Yerushalmi says the reason we don't blow Shofar on Shabbos is a Doraisa. Because one Pasuk calls Rosh Hashanah a Yayim Trua, another Pasuk calls Rosh Hashanah Zichre, a remembrance, implying that you remember the Shofar, that you don't experience. Zapti Yerushalmi, when Rosh Hashanah falls out b'chol, it's a Yom Teruah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it is only a Zichrei Teruah. You remember the Shofar, but you don't blow. So according to the Yerushalmi, what is the Yerushalmi telling me? The fact that we don't blow the Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos is a Dereisa based on the Pasuk Zichrin true. Now, the emesis, if you learn the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, you will actually see that the Bavli uses this as a Hava Amina. The Bavli actually wanted to say that this was the reason, and it slugs it up. Because it asks, what's the Malacha? What is the Malacha of blowing the Shofar? Why would it be also to blow the Shofar? It's not a Malacha. But this is a fascinating instance, and there are many instances of this, where a Hava Amina that slugged up in the Bavli is actually the Maskana of the Yerushalmi. Yeah, very few, the opposite, but that's typically that, because the Bavli came later. So the Bavli will often bring essentially a Svara that is Makar in the Yerushalmi and then argue. But I will say that even though the Halacha is like the Bavli, the Yerushalmi might have the last laugh or the last word, because in the Nusach HaTfila, we actually follow the Mahalach of the Yerushalmi. Because what do we say? I say, V'tikin lanu Hashem Elokeinu b'yava, right? Es yayim asikaren azer Hashem Chavayt. And then it says, yayim trua, the day of trua mikra kodesh. Right? So, on a normal Rosh Hashanah like this year, we call Rosh Hashanah yayim trua. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, instead of saying yayim trua, we say zichrei trua. In other words, during the normal Rosh Hashanah, we use the Lashon of Parshas Pinchas. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we use the Lashon of Parshas Emor. But according to the Bavli, there's no distinction. Both mean you blow the Shofar, right? So the Nusach HaTfila is actually Miyusad on the Shita of the Yerushalmi. Yeah. That's correct. That's a good question. Meaning to say, if it's a gezeira, presumably it came into being at some point in time, which means prior to that time they blew. Whenever that time is, we don't know when that time is. You're asking, according to the Yerushalmi, if it was a drasha. Now, of course, that's not necessarily mukharach either, because even if something is a drasha, there are drashas that are made by later bateidin that earlier Batei Din didn't make, right? So even in a drasha, it's shayach for there to be a change. A drasha is not the same as halacha l'moshe misina. Okay. Now let me mention another thing though. And this is actually another kasha that Bavli has. If you learn the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you see an interesting thing. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I might as well. It's good hot seven. It's good to know this stuff. The Mishnah mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. But it does mention in the Beis HaMikdash they blew. They blew the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Bishlama, if the reason we don't blow shofar on Shabbos is because of the Gezerah, Shema Yavimenu, it's an Isser Drabbanan. We understand why the Mikdash was different than outside of the Mikdash. Because there is in fact a general rule in Halacha that says Ein Shavus Bamikdash. Ein Shavus Bamikdash means that rabbinic prohibitions of Gezeros didn't apply in the environment of the Beis HaMikdash because Kohanim were very careful to be sure that nobody did anything wrong. But the Bavli asks this, if the Tadrasha of Zichron Truah, then why should the Mikdash be any different? I mean, the Yerushalmi actually has a terrorist in that without getting into it, but those are the two kashas the Bavli has on the Yerushalmi Svara. Number one, what's the Malacha? And number two, why should the Mikdash be different than the non-Mikdash? Now, let me go further though, because it's a complicated sugya. There is a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What does it mean? In other words, you're allowed to blow the Mikdash, but not outside of the Mikdash. Rashi says, Mikdash means only in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam learns, you could blow anywhere in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Bichlal the Mikdash. Now, it's hard to know the reason, because certainly the klal of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash is only Mikdash, but the Rambam says, the Hefter of the Mishnah, for Tikiyah Shevet. So according to the Rambam, you were allowed to blow shofar, I'll say you were, what about now, I'll get to that. But according to the Rambam, when there was a Beis HaMikdash L'chol HaPachas, you were allowed to blow shofar in the whole city of Yerushalayim. And not only the whole city, but what do I mean by the whole city? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explains, it's Lav Dafka, what was enclosed by the walls of the old city, but anything that could see the Mikdash, in other words, any area of Yerushalayim where you could see the Mikdash, you would be allowed to be Tokei. It's a question of how you apply that today with buildings and everything else, but some say, if you'd imagine all the buildings, they're gone, could you see the Mikdash? Because if you could see the Mikdash from a lot of places in Yerushalayim, if you take away the buildings. Okay. Now, what's interesting is this. What's interesting is that there was a debate around 100 years ago that if you follow the Rambam, if the Rambam allowed Tikiyah Shofar in Yerushalayim, is that only when there was a Beis HaMikdash, or is the Rambam saying you're allowed to blow Shofar in Yerushalayim? So there was a very chashuva Talmud Chacham, a Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who came to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s. And he was pushing very much. The Rebbe of Yerushalayim then was Rabbi Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant was Ashkenazic Rebbe of Yerushalayim for 70 years, around a really, really long time. And he was pushing Rabbi Shmuel Salant to say that, how could you be Mavato Achi of the Araisa? According to the Rambam, if you're allowed to blow Shofar, it's a mitzvah of the Araisa. And he was urging it to be Machriya like the Rambam. It's a double issue though. Be Machriya like the Rambam and assume that the Rambam would extend it to Yerushalayim and even as one as that. And he was pushing Rav Shmuel Salant to Matar Tikiyah Shofar and the Gedalia Yerushalayim. There were many Chashiv Gedalia. You had Rav Shmuel Leib Diskin, and you had Rav Yosef Haim Zonnenfeld. You're really great, great people. And he was outvoted. Nobody accepted his Hatzalah. But there was a Shmua. This is a story that's been passed from father to son. All the old Yerushalmis know this story. that it is said that on Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Yosef Shabbos, he locked himself up in his house, and you could hear as you walked by the house, you could hear the sounds of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Yosef Shabbos. And then they tell part two of the story, which may not be true, and they say Rav Shmuel Salant went in back of the house so he could hear the shofar blowing. Now, this itself is a fascinating, wonderful question, because Rav Shmuel Salant said like this: even if we paskin that it's usher to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Yosef Shabbos, but if somebody is doing it, you still get a mitzvah. So good, I'm not allowed to blow, and I'm not allowed to tell people to blow, but if somebody is blowing, I should go and hear, because I get a mitzvah. Now, the question is twofold. The question is, Erstens, first of all, is this not a problem? In other words, if you hold that it's usher to blow, would there not be a problem of mitzvah habavi aveira? In other words, it's not the pshat that, you know, you get a mitzvah. It's not the pshat, I'm over at Takanis Chazal, but I get a mitzvah of shofar blowing. The other way around, we would actually say that if the blowing of the shofar is a violation of Takanis Chazal, it's a mitzvah habavi aveira. But Rav Shmuel Salant's chesed might have been, yes. But since, according to one interpretation of the Rambam, it's not an aveira, even if we're not going to follow that, there is a chance I might be yaseh. This is another thing. The other cheshbon, which is a more deeper thought, besides mitzvah rabbi aveira, is this problem. The lashon of Chazal is yesh kayach b'yad chachamim la'akor. The chachamim have the kayach to uproot. What does that mean? When the chachamim make a takana to uproot, are they simply saying, don't do the mitzvah? Or do they literally have a kayak to take away its force of the mitzvah? It's not just, you're not allowed to do it. They're either. It's not a mitzvah at all. That's the question. Does the Torah give the chachamim the kayak to take it away as a mitzvah? But even if you say that, the first swara is still going to be emes, because if, according to one interpretation of the Rambam, they didn't do it, so Shmuel's fine. Right, so I think, so this is true. So I think it's more well documented that Rabbi Akiva Yosef did blow shofar privately. Whether Rabbi Shmuel Salant went and heard, you know, we don't really know. And the Gedalia Yerushalayim, you know, the old Yerushalmis still talk about this. It was a big, you know, scandal, so to speak. But as far as I know, I'm not aware of any movements to do that today. So we're not going to blow shofar here in Yerushalayim. Well, it's not going to go this year, but I think next year, whatever it is, whenever it's coming up next. Yeah. Yes. Actually, it's an interesting question. It's not so obvious why that is so. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that in order to be motzi somebody with the kiyas shofar, the person who blows the shofar has to be chayav in the mitzvah. That is why a cheresh, shaita, katan, and isha cannot blow shofar for a man, because since they're not chayav in shofar, they cannot be mighty. That's a general rule. Whenever someone is doing a mitzvah for me, they have to be a bar chiyuv. Now, if a man was already yaseh, so even though technically he's not chayav, but since he has the mitzvah, so a man who heard shofar can do it again. That's different than someone that's not chayav. Now, memela kal b'chaymer goy could not do it. Now, this does raise a very interesting question, though, and the question is the following: what is the mitzvah of shofar? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? But if you blow it for me, you're motzi. You know, really, everybody should blow shofar. But since we're not able to do it, you know, so you're motzi me in the tekiah. Or is it the pshat, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar? So you're not really being mitzi me, I'm being mitzi myself, because I'm hearing it. Right? Now, the chayra. Now, the Torah itself is not a rak. The Torah does not use the word to be tokeya, nor does it use the word lishmo. It just says, a day of trua. Is it to hear trua, or to make it true? It doesn't say it, right? So you don't really know. So chayre, the easiest raya would be from the bracha itself. What bracha do you make before shayfar? Lishmaya chayel shayfar. If so, the mitzvah shemina. But that does raise a very, very difficult question. Bishlama, if the mitzvah is to be tokeya, so I need the Baal Tokeya's maisa to be considered my maisa. So we're back to the general rule. It's like the Kiddush. It's a mitzvah to say Kiddush. You want to be maisi me? You got to be chayim. Now, if the mitzvah would be tokeya, same thing. I'm b'chayiv to blow. You want to be maisi me? You got to be chayim. But here, the question is, if the mitzvah is only to hear, so who cares who blows the shofar? Good, it has to be a shofar, not a trumpet. But who cares if it's a katan, an isha, a goy, or even a trained animal? An animal can do tekiyas, all that stuff. In other words, this is a very, very famous question, and that is, how could there be a din of kol she'eino mechuyav v'davar, eino meitzi acherim? Now again, I'm not suggesting that the yaseh was a recording. A recording, let's say, wouldn't be good because I'm not hearing a shofar. But when a katan blows a shofar, I'm hearing the sound coming from a shofar. So l'may nafka mina, if he's mechuyav or not mechuyav. It is a very good kasha. That actually might be a good answer, because given the fact. No, that's, even that's true, because like this. It is true that to be mighty me, there has to be das. That is halachically true. But logically, that shouldn't be true either. Meaning, because you're not being mighty me. If the mitzvah is shemia, you see what I'm saying? I'm being mighty myself. So your answer is good, but your answer is just another kasha. Meaning, the same way, the cut, we don't care if the cut was mechuyev or not mechuyev. I can tell you, for the same reason, I don't care if the cut has das or not das. Yeah. So it is a good kasha. The chulutim that they give are not as good as the kasha. I mean, this is a kasha that remains. And they want to say that in order to be called a tekiya shayfar, it has to be a tekiya of a mitzvah. It's not a tekiya of mitzvah, it's not a tekiya, but I can tell you the words. I don't even understand what that means exactly, because tekiyas shofar means the blowing of an animal horn. I don't see why intrinsic to the mitzvah of blowing an animal horn, it has to be, or whatever a shofar is, it has to be a blowing of a mitzvah of an animal horn. In other words, it's not, and they want to say, anyone who blows shofar when there's no mitzvah of shofar is like somebody blowing a trumpet. But that's not emes. A trumpet is not a shofar. A shofar is a shofar. You know, so I'll leave it with the tzarechim, but it is a good question.
Could it be
both?
So
well, you know, it's shaya to say that, of course. The question is, how come the bracha only says the shmur? That's the question. The question is really the bracha. The question is, now, you'll see, Taka, that when they announce before shofar blowing, you'll see the announcement, not that you've been the diagram announcement, but the minute in the yeshivas, because of this uncertainty, is they say everybody should be mechaving to be yaitzei the mitzvah of tekiyas ushmiyas kol shofar. Right? That's the cover. But the chari is still a kasha, because the chari, the ikar, seems to be lishmaya, because as I state, lishmaya kol shofar. See, unlike, let me give you an example, Mikra Megillah. Right? When we read the Megillah on Purim, we say the famous Al Mikra Megillah. So for Mikra Megillah, I know why a katam can't read Megillah for me. Actually, a woman might be able to. That's a machlekes. A woman is chayevet in Megillah. That's a famous bahar. But there, you see, klar, the mitzvah is kriya from Megillah. So Kishtaitzach, a katan can't read. But since this, in other words, he can't be mighty, even if he could read. But this is the Shmaya Kal Shekel, so who cares if the katan or not a katan?
Another guy. always open, and when you have to control, if you go there, there's there.
No, that wouldn't work, because let's assume the mitzvah is litkoa. But the mechanism by which somebody could be motzi me is the rule called shtomeya ka'on. Let's say kiddush. Right? There's a mitzvah to say kiddush. So you could be motzi me, because when I hear it, it's as if I said it. So the woman would need, and not just women, anybody, you would need, even if the mitzvah is tekiah, you have to hear it, because that is the shomeya ka'ina. By the way, women, let me just make it clear, you mentioned women. Women are not obligated in tekiah shofar at all. Strangely enough, tekiah shofar is a classic mitzvah saseh shazman garoma, and it's not one of the many exceptions. There are quite a few exceptions, but mainly Pesach exceptions, like everything with Pesach the chayavos. But you know, they're putter from lulav and esrog, they're putter from sukkah. They are putter, the gamri, from tekiah shofar. But the Magen Avraham already brings that shofar is one of the mitzvahs that women were makablos on themselves to hear. And I won't be able to get to the numbers. Maybe on Sefer Shmuel I'll have to talk about tekiah shofar still. But even though our minhag is to blow shofar 100 times in Rosh Hashanah, a woman is only chayavis to hear the basic 30. Not 200 kolos. And the basic 30 are three tashrats, which are tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah. Right? Tuf, shin, reish, tuf. Right? I'm sure you understand the abbreviation. The first tuf is tekiah. The shin is shvarim. The reish is trua. Because since tekiah and trua have the same first letter, we designate trua by the second letter. And then you have tekiah, so it's three tashrats. Three tashats, tekiah, shvarim, tekiah. And three tarats, tekiah, trua, tekiah. And that's counted as 30. Why? Because tashrat is counted as 4. So three tashrats is 12, three tashats is 9, and three tarats is 9. So it's 12, 9, and 9. That gives you 30. By the way, the Ramban points out that that's not a logical way to count. And the reason it's not a logical way to count is, a little background. The Torah says three times you have to have a true on Rosh Hashanah. Actually, two times by Rosh Hashanah, one time by Yovel. But Chazal say we compare Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, so you have to have three truas. Three truas. We then have another drasha. Every trua has to have a tekiah before and a tekiah after. So the Diaraisa, therefore, is nine. Tekiah, trua, tekiah, three types. Now, there were three different shitas. What is a trua? This is important. What is the trua of the Torah? What does the Torah mean by trua? Trua is a crying sound, that we know. But according to one shita, a trua was a groaning sound, elongated krechzing, oi, 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 which is what we call shvarim. According to another view, trua is what we call trua, a whimpering, you know, you're whimpering short. And according to a third view, it's a combination of krechzing and whimpering, which is called shvarim trua. So this is very important. Shvarim trua, shvarim, and trua are three different shitos as to what does the Torah mean by trua. Originally, different makaymas blew different things. You could have walked into one shul, you just would have heard three tashrats. You walked into another shul, you would have heard three tashats. You walked into a third shul, you would have heard three tarats. It would be much shorter. It was only Rabbi Avohu, and Amira, after the Mishnah, Rabbi Yavol made a takana that in order that there shouldn't be a pirut in Am Yisrael, particularly on the Yom Hadin, that we should incorporate all of the variations. So we should have three tashrats, three tashats, three tarats, which adds up to 30 kolos. This is a takana of Rabbi Avo. Takana of Rabbi Avo. It is after the Mishnah. It is after the Mishnah. So the Ramban time is quite logical. Logically, you should not count Shavarim true as two. That you're counting Tashrat as four, meaning because the lumdus of Shavarim true is it's a trua. So if a trua counts as one, even though there's nine toots, if a Shavarim counts as one, even though there are three toots, so Shavarim true has 12. You know, three elongated. So the Ramban actually kind of that the minog of the Rishonim to count 30 kolos is not correct. You should technically call it 27 kolos. But we don't follow that, because otherwise you're not going to get 100 kolos. In other words, the 100 kolos of the Shaifer is based on calling a Shavarim true of two kolos. Even though the Ramban argues it's really one kol. Yeah. So let me give you the evolution of this. Let me give you a very quick evolution of this. We're running out of time. The Torah says you got to blow tekiya, trua, tekiya three times. Even that is based on drasha. That's not some of the favorites either. Tekiya, trua, tekiya three times. So d'oraisa, it's nine kolos. Rabbi Avohu unified everything, and from nine he brought it up to 30. Now, but the way the Mishnah has it, whether you did Rabbi Avohu or not, is the Mishnah did not have tekiyos before Musaf at all. The Mishnah only had tekiyos in Shemona Esrei, in the repetition, after Malchios, the system of kingship, Zichronos, remembrance, Shofros, verses about the Shofar of Matan Torah, and you would do one. In other words, you would do tekiya, trua, tekiya after Malchios, Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya after Zichronos, Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya after Shofaros. And since Rabbi Avohu said you've got to have all the variations, so that would mean that the order of Musaf, which is exactly what we do today, is one Tashrat, one Tarat after Malchias, one Tashrat, one Tarat after Zichronos. Right? In other words, you get 30, but you don't do 30 by blowing three tashrats. In other words, since you want to divide Malchias, Sichronos, and Shofros, it's one of each. Okay. So, when you combine Rabbi Avohu and the Mishnah, you only hear Shofar 30 times. You go from 9 to 30, but you only hear it during Musaf, which are called Tekiyos Dima'umad. The standing tekiyos, because they're part of Shemona Esrei. The tekiyos before Musaf were added in the time of the Amoraim, and according to most Rishonim, their source is a statement of the Amora Rav Yitzchak, who says, "Lama taken kishen yashin? Why are we tekeh when we sit? And why are we tekeh when we stand?" So according to most Rishonim, the tekiyos of where we stand is called the tekiyos of Musaf. And Rav Yitzchak is trying to explain why did Chazal add 30 kolos before Musaf? What's the purpose? And the answer he gives is this confuses the Sotan. How does it confuse the Sotan? Because one of the meanings of Shofar is the summons to give. We're, you know, running the alarm that says, the siren that says, we're now going to be judged by Hashem. The Sotan's goal is to be makatre, to find pigamim in us, meet us again, to find fault in us. But when the satan sees we're eager to go to court, it's like a prosecutor. If a prosecutor sees that the defense says, let's go, want to go to court, let's go. The prosecutor begins to think, gee, what does this guy have up his sleeve? So the fact that Klal Yisrael is muchan u'mazuman to submit to the judgments of Hashem, it's a great zechus. That's what it means. The satan is me'orva. The satan is confused because he sees in Klal Yisrael the willingness to be makabel omal chushamayim, even if it's difficult. Okay? So, that's why they added. Now, other rishonim give a simpler reason. They say, tekiyos to miyushif were added for people who were old or sick and not able to stay for musaf. So they should hear the shloshim kolos before it. Actually, we have two different meanings. Okay. So now, we've gone from 9 to 30 to 60. Right? And we have the miyutim, which are 60. Okay. So, here's the other thing. So that's as far as the Gemara takes us, meaning after the Mishnah and the Gemara, you hear Shofar on Rosh Hashanah 60 times. Not 100, 60 times. Now, the last step in the evolution is in the time of the Ga'anim, after the Gemara. The Ga'anim thought Al-Pi Medrash, the Medrash doesn't say it, it's based on a Medrash that they applied, that it's a proper thing to hear Shofar on Rosh Hashanah 100 times. Why? Because it says that when Sisera's mother was waiting for the evil general Sisera to come back, she cried for him 100 sobs. And those 100 sobs, which are symbolic really of, you know, the mothers of all the Rishonim who loved their children and mourned for them, is actually Ma'ayre Rachamim in Hashem. And Hashem feels Rachamim Tavyahu, even for the mothers of Hitler, whatever it is. So we have to counteract that. Because the Rachamim for the Rishayim is going to be a Chorban for Am Yisrael. So we counteract the 100 cries of Sisera's mother, which is symbolic of all the Rishayim, with 100 of our shofar blowings. Now, since you already have 60, right, you just have to do another 40. Right? To be Mashlim Vitakanas Haga'ayim. So how do you do the other 40? So the way we do it is the following. If you do one of each, that gives you 10. Again, not following the Ramban. One Tashrat is 4. One Tashrat will be 10. And then you do, right, so you do one of each, then you do 3 of each. And since we don't want to interrupt Kaddish that much, so in the middle of the Kaddish Shalom after Nisuf, before Tisfabia, right, the Baal Tokeya blows one of each, one Tashrat, one Tarat. Gives you 10. Then the Kaddish is finished. And then he blows 3 of each. And that gives you 30. Right? So we go from 9 to 30 to 60. Then we have the Takanas Haga'inim of Mea Kolos. But once again, if a person is hearing Shofar B'Yechidus, whether he was a man or a woman, all we do is the 30. We don't do anything beyond that. We do 30 Kolos. Now, what's interesting is this. Let me just mention that we have to do 40 because in Musaf we only did 30. Malchi is the Chonis Shofar. Let me mention though that among Hasidim and many Svardim, they maintain that the Kios de Me'umah, the original takana of blowing after Malchi is the Chonis Shofar, is not only in the repetition, but it's even in the silent Amida. The Tzibur, only the Tzibur. Now that's very peculiar, if you never saw this. Because everybody's davening at a different pace. And in the middle, all of a sudden, you'll hear a and they'll start blowing shofar. The way it works is, whenever the chazan, or the Baal Tokeya, is up to the end of Malchiyas, they'll blow. And then 20 minutes later, they'll blow again. So, question, are you yaitzei that at all? Are you yaitzei tekiyas al seder habracha, if you're not up to that bracha? It's not at all clear. But it's a very strange feeling, because it blows out of the blue, so to speak. And, of course, nobody can move. Right? Nobody can move. So Rabbi Twersky, Abraham Twersky, tells the story that he was an 8-year-old kid, talking about a cousin, in his father's Hasidic shtibel, and sometimes the Baal Tokeya, Brochem doesn't happen here, but some of the Baal Tokeya, you know, can't do it in the middle, and you have to pass the shofar around. But if you're in the middle of Shmon Esher, you can't move. So you just hand the shofar around till it resurfaces into somebody's hand, you know, who blows it. So one year, it surfaced in this little 8-year-old kid. And everyone has a talus over their head, and this kid has it, and he blows perfectly. So people were asking after that, saying, gee, this was a Valdeco, you know, Valdeco Kea, like, who did this? Anyway, it was discovered that it was 8-year-old. So he mentions that he saw for the first time this great mixture of extreme nachas and extreme annoyance. His father was very proud of what he did, but his father was annoyed. Because the emphasis, you can't be misakin. Because Bishlama, let's say a katan blew the 30 kolos, so we'll just blow the 30 kolos after Musaf. If a katan blows during the brachos of Musaf, what are you supposed to do? There's no reason to blow again, because this is only to blow during Musaf. Yeah, we yotze Musaf. So when you don't do it right in Musaf, so there's no takana really. That's a profound situation. You're right. There might be a concept, but still, it seems that the Kana Sagaimen was built on Kiyostim Umat. That's why, for example, when I blow for a man or for a woman, privately, we don't blow 100. We don't just say let's blow 100. It has to be connected to the Muslim. Now, let me just mention one other thing that's important. The Rif says the following. It's an important part of the Rif. The Rif says that given the fact that the Chachamim structured, for whatever reason, that we blow both before Musaf and during Musaf, it's one big mitzvah. This is how Chazal said the mitzvah of Shofar should be Mekoyim. Therefore, when the bracha is made on the Shofar before Musaf, Mishmaya Kol Shofar, that bracha is covering not only the Shloshim that you blow now, it's also covering the Shloshim Mechol HaPachas that you're going to blow. Let me just mention one thing. According to Sfarda, I forgot my point. According to Sfarda and Chassidim, you've blown 60 during Musaf. So according to Chassidim, by the time you finished Musaf, how many times have you blown Shofar? 90 times. 30 before and 60 during. So you only have to blow 10, which is one of each, right? So Chassidim will do much less after Musaf, because they'll get Meya with just 10. Right? We have to do 40, Chassidim and Sfardim only have to do 10. Okay. But be this tonight, the Rif Taina is that since the bracha is going on both the Miyushav and on the Meumah, it is usher to be mafsik between Miyushav and Meumah, or even within the Meumah at all. And that is why we announce that from the time. Now, the truth is, the announcement seems to be stricter than the Rif. The announcement says you're not supposed to be mafsik till the end of the last shofar blowings after Musaf. It's not clear that that's so emes. The Hashlama of the Mea Kolos is not part of Tkiyas Shofar, but certainly the Rif said you cannot be mafsik between the Musaf and the Mu'umat. And that is why, even in shows where they talk during Chazaras Hashatz, Hashem not here, but this is the quietest Chazaras Hashatz. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are the quietest the whole year, because people are not allowed to talk. This is very chumra din, according to the Rif. There are people, for example, who will not sing along with the chasm. The chasm has a nigun. The chasm has a nigunim, a beautiful nigunim. Although we're a megalon singing, but there are people who will not sing. They won't answer Baruch Hu Shmo to the brachas of Chazaras Hashatz. That's called the hefsek. They will not sing with the chasm, because they don't want to be mafs. Okay, we're megalon on those nigunim, but this is what the Rif says. Now, I don't want to, chas v'shalom, give anybody a license to talk, because the emes is, even without the Rif, you're not allowed to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. So, I mean, it's not like it's only because of that. But, l'mais, I do want to point out, the Ramban is chaylik. The Ramban is chaylik on the whole din of the Rif. And the Ramban tainis, you make a bracha, you're yaitzei to kiyosh to miyoshev, you are yaitzei the mitzvah to kiyosh shayfer. You blow later because you want your tekiyas to be connected to tefillah, but it's not the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar anymore. So according to the Ramban, there is no problem of being mafsik. Now, this is very nogeya, a perennial problem that we have, in which no matter what you do, you're going to do something wrong. And that is the following. We know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not supposed to fast. You're not supposed to fast until Chatzos, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Whatever time it is. Now we know in Rosh Hashanah, in Rosh Hashanah, davening goes long. And in yeshiva, davening is longer, let's say, than a regular show. And we also don't begin so early, right? So, certainly Musaf is over after Chatzos. So what do you do? So, if you wait until after Musaf, you might have a problem of fasting. Now, theoretically, fasting could be tempered by just having a cup of water or tea or coffee, because before davening, which you're allowed to do, that's not fasting. But even without the fasting, not eating anything until after Musaf, there's a fear that you're not going to have kavanah for Musaf. because it's a long listen, right? You're, you know, it's already 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock, you know, you can't concentrate. So because of this, the yeshivas, most yeshivas adopted a hanhoga that they make kiddush before musaf. Because the issue of eating before chakras is only until you daven chakras. Once you daven chakras, you can now make kiddush. But the problem is, where should you position that kiddush? You can't position the kiddush after tekiyas demiyush or before musaf, because according to the Rif, you're not allowed to be mafsik between the Yushav and the Umar. So you have to make the Kiddush, as we do, after the Haftorah, before the Miyushav. But the problem there is, state in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat before Tekiyah Shefer. At least you're not allowed to have a Suda, including Muzayin. So you got a problem. To wait until after Musaf, I either have the Yisr Tainis or the Cholam Fachas will be hard for me to daven. Therefore, I can make my Kiddush before Musaf. So if I make my Kiddush before Musaf, I can't do it, I cannot do it after the Miyushav, because I would be over on the Rif Salacha that you're not allowed to be Mafsik. If I make it before the Miyushav, I'm eating a meal beforehand. And there's not even an answer to say, okay, I have a cup of coffee, because once I got in Shabbos, I can't have a cup of coffee until I make Kiddush. And if I make Kiddush, ain't Kiddush over Makam Suda. I either have to have cake or wine. I can't just have a cup of water at that point, even if that would help me, because I'm this chayav in Kiddush, unlike before davening, when I wasn't chayav in Kiddush. So what do you do? There's nothing that you will do that is right here. Now, the Minhag HaYeshivas is, really all yeshivas, all literacy yeshivas, I don't know what the Hasidic yeshivas are. I guess there's probably even more make of the inyan of eating and the like, is that they say the inyan of musaf b'kavana is so important that you're allowed to eat before tekiyah shefer because it's gerechen to be a tzairech hamitzvah, and they allow it, and this is the minhag. But a great, great gadol like Rav Henkin, and Rav Moshe, so much of it. Rav Henkin, who was Rav Moshe's older chaver, shrayt chai b'kayim, I mean, they say, on Rav Henkin's deathbed, he asked Rav Moshe to be chayzer from two psakim. One is a psak that I talked about in the early Govus here, where Rav Moshe paskin, reformed marriages don't need gittin. Right, reformed marriage, which is matzo, which Rav Henkin held, they do need gittin because they're by all the same condition. So that's Magaya Aishas Ish in Mamzeiris, like Rav Henkin held, which would be very, very difficult for a lot of guys in Rosh Hashanah, that kids who are born from second marriages, if mother didn't get a get from the first before marriage, I'm not saying them. Rav Moshe Baruch Hashem matured, and that's how we follow. But Rav Henkin held that Rav Moshe was maturing an Eishes Ish. And the second thing Rav Henkin says is, be chayzer from the psak that you can make kiddush before tekiyah shefer. Huh? Rav Henkin would not eat. That's all. He would have coffee before davening for the Alzheimer's, and he would not eat whatever. The emesis, and I'll tell you, I mean, the emesis, I don't want to make it difficult for anybody, the emesis is, if you're able to daven with kavana, it's better not to make kiddush before tekiyah. That's a lot of the emesis. On the other hand, if you feel you need it, Rav Moshe's psak, you can be sandech. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to Rav Moshe pasking, either way. So Rav Henkin was shrayt chai v'kayam on it, but now, Rav Henkin actually said, if you're going to make kiddush, do it after Miyushav. You're violating the Rif. So he says like this, Rav Henkin says the following, listen to what he said. He said, eating before tekiyas is asur l'chulei alma. Eating between Miyushav and Ma'omid is only asur according to the Rif. The Ramban was mocking. So why, there's a strong logic there. Why are you more chayshis for the Rif than you are for a din that's l'chavayama? Yeah. Okay, that's a time to think about. But that's how we work it out. We are chayshis for the Rif, and the takanas hayeshivas is to make kiddush before tekiyah. Yes, well, go fast. Well, earlier is definitely, that actually is the best day itself. to daven early. There are reasons. Part of it is on Rosh Hashanah, there's a real chashash that you don't want people to have bittul Torah. In other words, it shouldn't be a day of Kavos Reish. So there actually is a cheshbon, let's keep them in shul as long as possible. And that way there's less time for schmoozing, and especially the Arizal says one shouldn't sleep in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah. That's different. Until you get up, the issue of sleeping is only until you get up. You know, once you, you know. So there is a cheshbon to start later, so sure, no, there is such a cheshbon. But you're right, obviously, you know, there are vasikim in Rosh Hashanah. I see it announced. You can daven to vasikim in Rosh Hashanah. That mishtama would be an extra zechus, daven to vasikim. And that would solve the problem. Although, I'm not sure if we would address the kavanah issue, because I think, you know, I think the hunger of a person may be a function of how many hours he's up. I mean, in other words, like this. If I get up at 6, I may be just as hungry at 10:30, and if they get up at 8, then it's 12:30. So the issue of kavana, that's the issue, I think would still exist even under those circumstances. Okay? So that's a little bit of the background of all of this. I just want to mention one other hora that we talked about Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. I forgot to mention it. So I mentioned the Kiryas of Schlesinger tells that you could be sitting on the Rambam of Yerushalayim. But there's another Nikuda to keep in mind. The Gemara tells us that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that you could be Tateya Shaifer in the presence of a Beis Din. And he meant the Sanhedrin of Yavne and the like, because, right? So there's a machlekes what that means in Halacha too. Most Paiskim say that's only a heter for the Sanhedrin of 71. Which we obviously don't know. But there's a tshuva from the Rif. It's not in the Hilchos HaRif, where the Rif held that the Beis Din of the Gadol Hador is allowed to have the Tiyas Shefer, and it is brought down, although the Rif didn't say it himself, maybe because of another, that in the Beis Din of the Rif, they were Tokei HaShefer, the Shabbos. So there, now that Lamedus, we're not knowing it all today. We're not knowing it like the Rif before, but even Rav Gilead Shlesinger, we didn't taina that the heter to blow in Yerushalayim is out based in. He tied it results Yerushalayim, like two different opinions. There's the Mikdash heter, which the Rambam says is Chayla Yerushalayim, and then there's the Basedin heter, which either was limited to the Sanhedrin, or the Rif says the Basedin of the Gadol, of the Gadol was on. Right, so that second one, he was not such a thing.
So what would be the basis of that?
The basis of that Rif is because the idea of a Sanhedrin is that they will be Mazshir Es Ha'am, not to be Michael Shabbos. Meaning, in front of the Sanhedrin, you're not going to, you know, send the Yabi Ren with all that. No. But that's because this is a Takana in the Mishnah. The Mishnah itself says, after the Chorban, Rav Yechanan and Zakkai was Misakein, you can blow Shefer and Shabbos every place that has a base. So that's a comparison takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's not a general rule of Shvus. It's a takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Rif was Machadesh, but that applies to the base of the Gadol HaDor. Okay, anyways, you have a good Gibesh Yosh to see the Taiba.
We have the Ramban, so I'll take care of, let's say, whatever Ramban speaks or whatever.
No, so the emphasis is interesting. Is even the Rif says, in other words, the Ramban for sure. Yeah, the Rif says even though you're not supposed to be matzik, the Rif says you vayda don't make another bracha. So the Rif Kufa says you don't make another bracha for matzik. Because again, the dinyan would be, let's take Bedikas Chametz as a very good example. I make a bracha and then I'm vayda chametz. So as long as there's no hefsik between the bracha and the techilas hamitzvah, you never make a bracha when you're mafsik in the gemar mitzvah, unless it's like today mikmar is cool or something like that. So the Rif says, being mafsik between miyushev and mu'mad is like being mafsik in the middle of the bedikas hamitzvah. You don't make a bracha.
And so therefore, some people don't see the internet, and you said,
right.
thunder.
That's a tzad kula too. Some say if you're not saying words, certainly humming. But again, you'd ask yourself the same question. Are you allowed to hum during Shmoneh Esrei?
I want to know. Let's say someone is in the Shmoneh Esrei, he stops in order to hear Kedusha, Shabbos, he starts singing Kedusha. Could he hum?
It's better not to. But it's not a hepsic that you
would say. Even in between the assignment and Kedusha sometimes, so if you have a big table, some people start singing.
They were more makeup, but that's really totally more in Hesed Chadas, because you see that even if you talk, it's like you're bringing song or something. So this is on Pika Baba.
Is this meshing together the Bazi and the Yerushalmi?
Yeah, I think so. Although he doesn't bring the Yerushalmi, but L'chayra, that's the idea. L'chayra, the Yerushalmi is saying that Shabbos is the tikkun of Shekhar in the Tzad itself. That would be the Yishalmi. Yeah. Of course, how does that explain Lulav? Well, that's interesting. The Yishalmi doesn't give a reason for Lulav.
Right.
He says the same thing is true for Lulav.